young lady, we have revival service tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Please come back and sing again. Amen. And I'm going to tell the home crowd, you know, I didn't ask any singers to come in. I'm dependent on you. I'd like to hear our trio sing. Maybe tomorrow night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Get you all back here. I want to hear these young people singing. I want these young people a part of this service. Amen. This is all about everybody in the church, not just the old people, not just the middle-aged people. It's about these young people, too, getting their hearts on fire for God. So y'all come back, amen? And I'm dependent on the home folk, amen? So just come every night prepared to sing, and I might walk up to you and say, I want you to sing tonight, amen? So I'm dependent on you to be here, amen? And tonight after service, we got some leftovers. We don't know how much is left over, but whatever's left over and who gets it first is up to you. But you might not get something to eat. You might get a piece of pie and a cream puff. Amen. You might get a salad and some dressing, and you might get a wrap. Whatever's left. There's some soup left and stuff from yesterday. We're just gonna clean it up. So whatever you get's what you get. Amen. So if you want to stay in fellowship a while after service, come on out to the fellowship hall and join us. And then we're going to be taking the McNeils up to the tabernacle tomorrow. That work for you still? All right. And here's what I want to do. Does anybody else want to go with us? If we have enough folks, we'll take the van. If you want to go. All right. Well, here's the deal. They have a tour at 10 o'clock and one at 11 o'clock. And then you got to wait till 1 or 2 o'clock. So I want to be there for the 11 o'clock so we can go through the tour and do that and then have time to stop back and get lunch. And I think we need to leave my house by 9:45, all right? Can you bring the van? All right? Does anybody else want to go? I mean, if you want to go to the tabernacle tomorrow, we're going to stop back at Laps. Everybody just get their own lunch and eat lunch there at Laps on the way back. You'll like Laps, brother. And if everybody's real good and you feel like it, we might stop at Maplehof and get an ice cream cone. Amen. But it's just been a great weekend so far. We've had a great service this morning, had a great time. Ladies' conference. Amen. Ladies had said they had a great time yesterday. Amen. We're looking for a great time tonight. We had a great time this morning. Amen. And I tell you, Brother Irvin, I just love his preaching, amen. And I like the way he just gets everybody. He said tonight he's going to step on your toes, but he's not aiming for your toes. He's aiming for your heart, amen. And if he speaks to your heart, this altar is open, amen. You need to be here. It's good to see Brother Joe here tonight, amen. I ain't supposed to be driving. Ain't supposed to be out. He come. He said, "You told me I could come in." I told him, "Come however you need to come, brother, amen." And, you know, don't look at his legs. I catch you looking at his legs. I'm going to hit you. Hey, man. Smack him, Susan. I just seen him look. Hey, man. But Brother Joe had some very serious surgery done, back surgery, and has not been able to be out. And you can tell there's a hunger. Amen. And I'm going to tell you girls, tell your mama to come. I'm going to tell everybody right now, if Sister Tanya is here, do not come shake hands with her. Do not come be around her. Do not, I know you all care about her, but one of the reasons she can't come is because of her immune system. It's up and down, and don't know when it's up and down. So you girls can go home and tell her that I done told everybody tonight, I'd love to hear the Cadle family sing, amen, one night. I'd love to see her. I miss being in church worshiping with her, amen. And she told me the other night she knows she needs to get back, and they thought they might try some of the night services. So if Tanya is here, you stay away from her, all right? If I see you around her, I'm going to smack you. You can wave, amen? You can give her a wave from a distance, amen? But stay back away from her, amen? We don't know when her immune system is up and when it is down, really. And she probably has a better clue, but that's one of the things. So you tell Mama, I done told them. If they get near her, I'm going to smack them, amen? So she's good to go. If she wants to come, And Tanya, if you're watching, you're good to go, honey. We want you here. Amen. We're broadcasting live right now, and we'd just love to have her in service with us. Amen. So tomorrow, if you want to go to the tabernacle, be at my house by 9:45. Amen. We're going to leave from my house at 9:45. And we'll get back whenever we get back. Shouldn't be too late. Should be early afternoon. I got to get back in time to feed the animals anyway. So, you know, we'll be back. But if you want to go, we'd love to take you. And some folks said they've never been to the tabernacle, would like to go. And I see there's a few that are interested. Pam told me, if you go to the tabernacle, I'm going with you. So we're looking forward to that. And don't forget to be back tomorrow night at 6:30. And just come prepared to sing. You don't know, I might not sing you tomorrow night. It might be another night. Or 7 o'clock. Yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. That's right. The rest of the week, 7 o'clock. Amen. But we're just looking for a good time. And I tell you what, the Lord has blessed. He blessed yesterday. He blessed this morning. Amen. And looking for a blessing tonight. And like we said, this altar is always open. Brother Irvin will bless your heart. He just wants to be a blessing to you. Amen. He's never come to hurt anybody. He's just come to help you. Amen. And he's in the soul helping business. Amen. And he comes from a place where they take people who are at their lowest in life, amen, and teach them how they can experience more in life than they ever dreamed of, exceedingly and abundantly, but more than they could ask or think through Jesus Christ. And that's all he wants to do tonight. Brother Irvin, you come and you just preach what God's laid on your heart and just do what God tells you to do. Amen.
Just that. And all God's people said? Amen. 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 Tonight, it is my desire to have a call for holiness. I believe that that's what revival is all about. I believe that when a church calls me and say, we want you to come and preach a revival, I'm not here to entertain you. Amen. And I have no intentions of leaving here with everybody here satisfied with the status quo. When I leave here on Thursday morning, I plan to leave early. I want you to be different. I want you to be different. Everybody in here needs to change, including me. Listen, everybody in here, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's time to clean out some things. Okay? When you start cleaning a house, you need to get rid of stuff you haven't seen for a long time. You need to get rid of stuff that's not necessary, no matter how much you like it. It's time to get rid of some stuff. And that's what our service is about tonight. In order to really change in some of these vital areas, it will take commitment. Let me tell you one principle of commitment. Commitment looks beyond the present moment of time. I'll say that again. Commitment looks beyond the present moment of time. Regardless of whatever it is that you want, regardless of whatever it is that you desire, regardless of whatever your attitude is, you need to look past that. You need to look down the road. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The cross was very painful. The cross was very shameful. But he looked down the road a couple thousand years, and he saw you and I sitting right here tonight. Amen. So he hung, he bled, and he died on a cross that we might have eternal life and that we might have abundant of joy and that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And since our Lord loved us so much, it's time for us to love him back. Amen. And so we want to talk tonight, and I'm going to preach a message tonight. The title of my message is going to be Sin Is Not Your Friend, but I want to set the stage for that. You know, when they do surgery in OR, they have to set up for a surgery. And depending on what type of surgery they plan to do, they have to have certain nurses and they have to have certain dressings and the room has to be a certain temperature and everything else in order for them to do major surgery. And I've had major surgery. I've been shot twice. I've had open heart surgery. I've had 3 hip replacements. I've had 2 hemorrhoidectomies and some other stuff I don't care to talk about. So I know about major surgery. I've been cut everywhere but loose. A call for holiness. Removing those little things. I'm talking about removing those little things from your life, even things that may not necessarily be sin, but it's not necessary. We want to remove those tonight. You know, when the children of Israel, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to take them into the promised land, he told them, I'll get rid of the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, all his ites, but he didn't mention the termites. The termites speaks of those little things. Those little things in life that you have to deal with every single day. And tonight, we're after the termites. Amen? Tonight, we're after those little things because we want to be revived. Amen. We want to be revived. We want to be refreshed. I'm talking about attitudes. Husbands and wives. You know those little attitudes that you have sometimes toward one another for no apparent reason. I want those to leave. I want you to come forward tonight when we give the invitation, and I want you to commit to God that I am going to be different. In the crucible of that moment, when you are entertaining that attitude, when that attitude comes, I want you to let God change you right there. That's what we're talking about. You say, well, brother, you're slicing that kind of thin. No, I am not. In fact, we're going to read some scripture in a few minutes before we ever get to our passage tonight. We're going to read some scripture that's going to slice it as thin as it can get. Attitudes, husbands and wives, children. Sometimes children have bad attitudes. Amen. They don't, Mom, I don't see why we got to have the same thing over again. You shut your mouth. Amen. You shut your mouth in the name of Jesus Christ. And you learn how to put up with some things. You begin to grow up in your attitude. You begin to grow up, begin to move up. The song that we sang tonight, and by the way, either we're just playing church or this stuff is serious. I want you to go ahead and turn with me before I even start reading to number 76. We just read this. This is one of my favorite songs. Amen. This is one of my, we just sang this tonight. And either way, I believe it's just as much sin to sing a lie as it is to tell a bold-faced lie. And we sang this tonight, and it begins with a personal pronoun. I am pressing on the upward way. We all sing that, and either it's true or it's not. And I believe it's time for us to stop playing church. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubt arise or fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. That's what the song says. Is that what it says? Notice the last verse. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on the higher ground. Folks, listen to me carefully. This is some serious stuff. Listen, maybe you're here tonight and you're a boss. Well, let me tell you, you better remember that you got a boss in heaven. Amen. You better be careful. You better remember that you got a boss in heaven. Don't just rail on your employees and whatever just because you can. You better be a servant leader. You better be a servant leader. Employees, amen. Employees, you went looking for a job, you got one. The job is hard by definition. That's why they call it a job. Amen. Amen. And you need to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. In fact, you should not be just working for your pay. You ought to be working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what I've experienced. I had a boss years ago. I was in Bible college, and I was complaining because they'd not given us incremental raises like they had promised. And this lady asked me, she said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you telling me you'd do more if you was paid more? I said, excuse me? She said, I think you understood me, but I'm going to ask you again. Are you telling me you would do more if you were paid more? I said, no, ma'am. She said, what's the problem? I said, I don't have a problem. Let me tell you, I went to work. You see, because if that's the attitude, nothing would be enough. How much would be enough? Employees, don't tell the Lord that you'd do more if you were paid more. That's not true. That's not true. You're only kidding yourself. You need to scale. If you want to scale the utmost height, you need to drop that attitude. Church members, maybe you're tithing, you're giving or whatever. But let me tell you something. You're not buying preacher. I want you to understand, you're not making a down payment on this preacher. You're just doing what thus saith the Lord. The Bible says if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap also bountifully. That's the word of God. Amen. Neighbors, maybe you're mad with your neighbor. You hate your neighbor. You got some new neighbors. You just don't like them. You've never spoken to them and you don't want to. That's wrong. That's wrong. Take them a tract. Take them some cookies. Amen. Take them something. But it goes on and on and on. The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Turn with me tonight to 2 Corinthians. This will not be our passage. I'm just setting the stage for our message tonight. I hope that's all right with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse number 14. Now, I want you to know tonight that the Christian life is not just a whole list of things that you don't do. But there's a whole lot of things that you ought not be doing, and there's some things you're going to have to quit doing, even though they may not necessarily be sin. If you want to move higher in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to walk closer, you want to get closer to where you ought to be, you're going to have to change some things. Amen. Notice what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Your best friend ought not be an unbeliever. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? This is a list of blistering questions. And what concourse hath Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, in light of all that, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, we like to sing Standing on the Promises as well. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Just one verse. This is a memory verse. You ought to memorize that. You should memorize that. We just read. This is powerful stuff. You ought to have that in your memoirs. You should be able to reach and pull it out when you need it in these crucible moments. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 4, if you found it, say amen. Amen. In Revelation 18, 4, the Bible says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Our churches are being plagued.
Amen.
Plagued.
Yes.
Because of sins. And by the way, maybe you're here tonight and you're practicing something and you consider it nothing. Well, let me tell you something. It affects everybody in here.
That's right.
This is a body of believers. It affects, well, I didn't know their business. Well, yeah, it is. Oh, yes, it is. It's my business. Amen. And it's this little girl's business up here. She wanted to be a missionary. By the way, I done fell in love with her. Amen. I'm taking her with me. Amen. That's all there is to it. Ruby is going to Chicago. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. By the way, when the invitation is given tonight, now, everyone in here, you need to come down front tonight. You need to come down front. That is, if you want supernatural power over those attitudes, those moments. How many husbands and wives do we have in here tonight? Raise your hand. All husbands and wives, raise your hands. Amen. How many of you in here want a better marriage? You believe you can have a better marriage? Raise your hand. Amen. Well, you're going to have to change. You know those times, husbands, when you think about telling her that you love her and you don't do it? That needs to change. Wives, you know those times when you think about complimenting him because he fixed something and you don't say nothing? That needs to change.
Amen.
And you might think to yourself right now, say, well, man, I wonder who this guy is. Think he's coming in here yelling at everybody. My name is Pastor Irvin McNeil. Amen. And I'm not looking for a home. I have one. I'm leaving Thursday. Amen. But I ain't telling to make a hole in the floor before I go. I came to plow the ridges. I came to shut the court.
Amen.
That's what I'm here for. Amen. Pastor Dennis wouldn't leave me alone. It's all his fault. He asked me to come over here year before last, but I couldn't come last year because my wife was having shoulder surgery. And it was a long way. I'd never been out here. I said, well, no, we're not coming. Well, guess what? Phone rang again this year. Brother, we still want you to come. I said, yes, sir. I know the voice of God when I hear it. Marilyn, here I come. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Notice Romans 6 begins with a blistering question. But before we begin reading in Romans 6, I want you to look with me at Romans 5, verse 20. The Apostle Paul here, knowing the mind of these Jewish people, he stages a kind of an argument for them. So in chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So chapter 6 begins with the question, what shall we say then? Shall we just go on sinning that grace may abound? Since grace is greater than all my sin, all I have to do is just keep doing the same thing over and over and just saying, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Honey, please forgive me. Pastor, I'm sorry. No! You're not sorry. Somebody told me that insanity is doing the same dumb thing over and over expecting a different result. That's insane. And so the Bible says tonight, and remember, we're talking about tonight, sin is not your friend. We're talking about separation. We're talking about not alienation from the world. Otherwise, you can't reach the world. But we're talking about separating yourself from your pet sins. You know that stuff. You already know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. And I've been telling my wife lately. She'll tell me, oh, no, honey, that's okay. I said, no, I don't get a pass. I don't get a pass if it's wrong. Don't even offer me one. Don't look over it. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but that is the goal. That is the goal. I need to get better. Everybody in here could do a little bit better. Everybody in here could do a little bit better. Everybody in here needs to be a little bit better. And the under shepherd here felt like the church needed a revival, and so he called me. Amen. And I am here for that purpose. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Notice this. Should this be a conversation of mine that I'll just go on doing my own thing and saying, God, forgive me? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Another question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accept him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 31, I die daily. I'm trying to help somebody. Because I'm telling you, God is helping me. He's helping me. And by the way, the older you get, the more you need. Amen. We need to set an example for these young people. We need to set an example for the church members. We need to set an example. We need to show them God is real. Because he is real. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about salvation. Therefore, in light of that, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And by the way, dead people don't have bad attitudes. Sometimes we have a bad attitude because it energizes us, don't we? What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. Well, what do you mean? I said nothing's wrong with me. Why are you nagging me? Leave me alone. Because I know I'm the only one in here who's ever pulled a stunt like that. But that's an ugly stunt, amen? Especially later on, they have a kissy face. Hi, honey. Mm-hmm. Amen. Am I helping anybody? You go from 0 to 1,000, amen. We are buried. We are buried with him by baptism into death. This is a statement. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in verse 5. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now this is powerful. We're to live as resurrected folks. Amen? It's time to get up from dead works. It's just time to get up from that. Notice verse number 6. Knowing this, notice what he said, knowing this, there's a difference between knowing something and knowing it. The implication here is that this is something that you need to act upon. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on or henceforth, we should not serve sin. We're not talking about fornication. We're not talking about adultery here. We're not talking about smoking dope and drinking wine. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about this common, everyday stuff that we've gotten too comfortable with. You know the stuff I'm talking about. Amen? You know the stuff that I'm talking about. Unnecessary spending. Unnecessary eating. Unnecessary everything. Folks, it's time for us to get our acts together. It's time to get it together. We can all eat a little less. I was with the preacher and his dear wife yesterday, and they ordered a meal together. Amen. I think it was Friday. They ordered a meal together, and really it was all they wanted. And if I'd been wise, I would have done the same thing. In fact, I should have done that today because I ordered a meal and my wife ordered a meal and neither one of us finished it. And we wasted it, and I was over full, and we could have ordered it together. We can do some things different. I'm watching. Listen, I'm watching. I'm like, wow, that's good. I like that. The restaurant may not like it, but they have to serve you anyway. And we're going to have this meal together. Amen. We'll have the smaller portion. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Notice verse number 10. For in that Jesus died, he died unto sin how many times? But in that he liveth unto God. Notice verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12. First commandment in the book of Romans. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin. This word let appeals to the will. It's up to you and I. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. The title of my message is, Sin is not your friend. So the question tonight is, how can I keep this commandment of God to prevent sin from controlling the way I live? Now you listen to me real carefully. Everybody look this way. We're not talking about your salvation tonight. We're talking about your daily lifestyle. We're talking about the way you live every day. Are you getting any better? Because if you're not, you're getting worse. Neutral you cannot be. You're either growing or you're going. It's one or the other. And let me tell you, growth is uphill. It's hard. It's against the stinking grain. And sometimes it gets tiring. And let me tell you something, you can't do it in the flesh. You can't live for Jesus Christ in the flesh any more than you can shoot an idea with a bullet. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and the Holy Spirit cannot be grieved in your life because he does an arm wrestle. Am I helping you? I'm trying to help somebody. The Holy Spirit. So how can I keep this commandment to prevent sin, no matter how small it is, from controlling the way I live? I believe there's several people in here, and I'm talking about good people. I believe there's several people in here tonight, and you're good folks. And maybe you hadn't heard it quite this raw. I don't know. But you're allowing just a few things from preventing you from going a little higher. You've somehow decided that whatever your little sin is all right with God. God hates sin. Yeah. And nailed him to the cross. Christ died for our sins. How on earth can I prevent allowing this thing to control me? Well, number one, you must have a biblical plan of action, because if you don't, the devil does. Amen. Listen to me. You got to have a plan. You have to have a plan. You need plan A, plan B, and plan C. You got to have a plan. How can I prevent sin from controlling me? This verse, by the way, is our text verse. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, be sober. He's not talking alcohol here. Yeah. Be sober, be vigilant. Well, let me tell you what vigilance is. It's being a watchman. It's being eagle-eyed. We were watching a nature picture the other night, and I forget exactly what kind of little animal it is that buries himself in a hole, but the old fox and the bear was after the same little fella. Amen. And the fox outfoxed the bear. Amen. The bear chased him down, and the fox waited on the other end and caught it and took off with it, strutting on off to have dinner. An eagle came right out of the air and took it right out of his mouth and kept right on flying. Amen. God wants us to be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whomever he may devour. Anyone, anything is a victory to the devil. Anything whatsoever. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. And everybody look this way. You are not serving God and Satan simultaneously. That is an utter impossibility. You are never serving both at one time. God says no man can do that. And by the way, if you're not careful, you won't know what you're serving. You won't know where you're at. We're going to preach a message here one of these nights soon called Spiritual Inventory, a checkup from the neck up. Amen? We're going to have to check our thinking. We need to do an inventory. What's really going on up there when I'm sitting in a place just like this? What's actually happening to me on a daily basis? Do I really know what my thinking is? Is there too many hours going by when I ain't sure what my thinking is? Are people asking me, what's on your mind? Well, I don't know. You better know. Get you some scripture and start memorizing it. Write something down. Put it in your pocket. Amen. Control. Let the Holy Spirit control what you're thinking is. By the way, you may not have anything on your mind, but there is something going on. There's something going on up there. The wires are moving. Don't be a part-time Christian. Full-time has much better benefits. Amen. Hey, listen, don't be a part-time. If you ever work part-time for UPS, listen, one of the goals is to become full-time. Amen. Because UPS has some good benefits. Don't be a part-time Christian. Tonight, I want to give you 7 requirements that will help you to keep this commandment. Requirement number 1, you must change your mind about sin. Listen to me. You must, Christians, you must change your mind about sin. Your little attitude, that little stuff. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a husband. Maybe you don't know what all goes on. Maybe you got a stay-home wife and you have no idea what goes on in the home. Well, let me tell you something. I take care of the home often. I have taken care of it full-time. And it is a full-time job that will go unnoticed. You'll wipe up and clean up, and you'll wipe up and clean up, and you'll pick up and you'll pull up until you almost fall to have someone walk in the house and ask you, what have you been doing all day? In 2008, when my wife had her first hip replacement, I started grocery shopping. I've been grocery shopping ever since. You know what I realized? It's a man's job. That stuff is heavy. All that Clorox and laundry detergent, gallons of it. And then you got to put it up when you get home and all that. Some things need to change in our homes. You need to pick up whatever you put down. You need to help clean the toilet. You know the one. There's nothing private about the toilet, amen. We got some right here in the church. Everybody needs a part in that. Clean up the shower behind yourself. You know you should, but you haven't been at it. Well, I want that to change. And God wants it to change too. Notice what he says. Let not sin therefore reign in your body, mortal body. You need to change your mind about sin. Everyone has something in their life that needs to change. In order to do this, you must know the word of God and be committed to obeying it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, confess your sin. Maybe tonight you need to come and you need to confess to God some stuff that you know ought to change. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 104 and 105, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse number 18, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse number 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. The Bible says in Psalms 119 verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. Listen, you need to know the word of God. Listen, I got saved in 1979, and I was dumb as a mule. At the time, I hadn't even completed high school. But let me tell you something. They told me, you need to get the word of God in you. You need to get the word of God in you. You need to get the word of God in you and in you and in you. And I began to memorize scripture. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verses 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You got to know the word of God. You got to know the word of God, and you must be committed to obeying the word of God. That's number one. Number two, you must as much as possible avoid the presence of sin. Stay away from what's going on. You know why? Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22, to abstain from the very appearance of sin. It ought not look like you're doing wrong. Now what are you doing there? Amen. Listen, I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm asking too many Christians, how are you? And they're telling me, well, Pastor, I'm doing fine under the circumstance. And I said, well, what are you doing under there? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. What are you doing under your circumstance? You have resurrection power available. Rise up and let the world know that there's joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that fills within my heart. Every moment, every hour. Amen? Amen. There is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. Abstain from the appearance. The Bible says in Psalms 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Watch out for that smartphone. Watch out for that smartphone. As sure as I'm standing up here tonight, there's somebody in here that's abusing a smartphone and it's abusing you. As sure as I'm sitting here, there's somebody in here tonight who's looking at some stuff who needs to go. And listen, God has called me here tonight, and I want you to know I'm calling up your sin. But there's some other stuff going on right here. And by the way, I know you're good people, but I'm trying to help you. Amen. Trying to help you. That's what revival is all about. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The reason we go to the doctor, amen, for a physical, not necessarily because we're feeling bad or because we're sick. We just kind of want to know what's going on. Amen. Just kind of want to know what's going on. Go ahead and draw some blood and check out this and check out that and tell me how I'm doing. And then when he tells me, and especially if he's telling me the truth, well, don't be like the man that went to the doctor. His wife told him, Fred, it's time to go to the doctor. Fred was fat. And so as soon as he got in, they told him to get on the scale. And the doctor told him right away, Fred, you need to lose 65 pounds. Fred hollers, I want a second opinion. His wife told him, shut up, Fred. That's the problem. You always want seconds. You must, as much as possible, avoid the presence of sin. The Bible says in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Number three, you must at all costs avoid the practice of sin. Listen to me. At all costs, you need to avoid the practice of sin. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and beginning in verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. You must, at all costs, avoid the practice of sin. I'm talking about gossip. Gossip. By the way, when you're talking about something or someone, if you're not part of the problem or the solution, you are gossiping. Amen. Hey, and we all do it, and it gets mighty juicy, and we need to knock it off. We need to shut our face. Amen. We have no time to be eating folks alive. And we do it, don't we? Gossiping, backbiting, saying things about people behind their back that you would never say to their face. Because you don't have the courage. And I am guilty as well. And we need to change tonight, saints. We need to change. Envy. Amen. Envy. Overeating. Unconfessed sins. Being complacent. Just satisfied. Complaining. Whining. Unthankful. Self-righteous. It's the practice of sin. Number four. You must identify your own personal weaknesses. Hey, listen to me. Write them down. Everybody has some. You need to write them down. I dare you. Write them down. Listen, and hide them. Don't show them to anybody. This is between you and Yahweh. It's between you and God. Amen. Write it down. Hide it someplace and commit yourself to changing it. Listen, you need to be strong where you're weak. Amen. If you don't know where you're weak, the devil does. And that's where he's going to get you. Amen? Go ahead and get you another big slice of that cake. Amen? Get a large slice this time. Amen? Put a little peanut butter on it. Yeah. Grab the milk jug and drink while nobody's around. Amen? Don't even get a glass. Just chug-a-lug. Because I know that there's nobody in here drinking from the jug. Drinking while you're standing on your feet in the kitchen, nobody else is around, amen, and you're just tearing it up, like an octopus, amen, hands everywhere. Patting yourself on the back for having this in the cupboard. Oh, I forgot I had this up here, bless God. Next thing you know, you're hot. Oh, I ate too much. Complacency. You must identify your own personal weakness. Everybody has some. When we really like doing something wrong, it's really easy to give in to it. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and beginning in verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one to the other. So there's a battle going on inside, isn't there, Pastor? Amen. There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on. And I'm telling you right now, my friend, if you're not careful, you'll lose. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Number five, you must recognize the things that tempt you. Don't live in denial. You must, listen to me, you need to recognize while it's going on. So, well, Lord, I need you to help me with this. We all struggle, amen? Amen. Talk to the Lord right there. So, Lord, you need to help me. Yeah. I'm weak here. I'm tempted here. Amen? Yeah. And sometimes you may have to say, come on, feet, don't fail me now, amen? You may have to run. Yeah. The Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. That's what the Bible says. Number six, I must deliberately invest my time. Listen to me. I must deliberately invest my time, my talents, and my treasures in Christ-centered activities. Listen to me. I must deliberately. Listen, if I want to prevent sin from ruling my life, then I must deliberately invest my time, my talent, and my money in Christ-centered activities. Turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2. Right after the book of 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 2. In verse 11. In Titus chapter 2, and beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, for the grace of God, I want you to notice, we're saved by grace, but we're also taught by grace. Amen. We're saved by grace, we're taught by grace, we serve by grace, we're going to heaven by grace, it's all by grace, otherwise grace is no more grace. And notice what he says here. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, notice this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. And last but not least, turn back to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. I'm going to go through these again for you before we get to the seventh point. How can I prevent sin from controlling the way I live? What are the seven requirements? By the way, the Bible says, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Amen. Luke 12, 48. Number one, you must change your mind about sin. Number two, you must, as much as possible, avoid the presence of sin. Number three, you must at all costs avoid the practice of sin. Number four, you must identify your own personal weaknesses, because everybody has some. Number five, you must recognize the things that tempt you. Don't live in denial. Number six, you must deliberately invest time, talent, and treasures in Christ-centered activities. And last but not least, number seven, I must not offer Satan any help. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans 6, verse 13. The Bible says, and I'll read verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members. He's talking arms, feet, hand. He's talking about the body parts. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Everybody look this way. You cannot sin without your body. The thought of sin is a sin, but we're talking about this physical stuff. The attitudes and all. And God says, don't use your body to sin, because when you do, you're giving your members to the devil. Now, let me illustrate it to you this way. Let's just say that we were going to have a fight tonight after church. And this side all has baseball bats. This side over here has nothing. So this side decides to give this side their baseball bats. Guess what's going to happen this side? They're going to get beat to death with their own bats. Amen. And that's what God is saying here in verse number 13. My friend, listen to me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yeah. You must consecrate. You must dedicate. You must commit. Everything, every part of you, to God Almighty. Amen. Or sin will have dominion over you. Amen. Gonna ask you to bow your head and close your eyes in just a minute. It can't be by chance. You have to know.